Audiomo 2015, day 30. The race is run. It is over. But then you don't need me to tell you that, do you? You know that Audiomo is finished today. That today is the final day of Audiomo 2015. You don't need me for that. What an idiot. Anyway, today we're going to go long because I've got a ton of stuff to cover in this episode. So I'm going to give you an idea of the structure just so that you can decide whether or not this is even worth your while listening to. First of all, got a bunch of people to thank, so I'll run through some names in a minute. Then I have a question to answer. SM2N has asked me a question. Yes, Simon, I'm going to answer your question, which I think was, give you one good reason why I shouldn't podcast every single day. I have made a list. We'll go through them in a minute. And then I'm going to come to the all-important, how do I fare? What am I physically like now compared with the beginning of the month? Because that was what it was all about for me. I was going to podcast and broadcast and tell you about my exercise and the impact on my body. So we'll find out where I was at the beginning of the month. Well, if you listen to episode one, you'll know. And what has a month of exercise done to me? I think you'll find one of the statistics quite interesting. It's a little bit disappointing, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So that's the structure of the episode. So let me launch straight into the thank yous, because a number of people have interacted on the Audio Boom platform, and I'm really grateful for that. McColgan has been very supportive. He did some boos about swimming. He also DM'd me, encouraging me to continue with the podcast. And Mac, really appreciates you getting in touch like that. I always enjoy listening to your voice, and I always enjoy listening to what you have to say. The great supporter throughout all of this, I have to say, has been SM2N Simon, who has left comments and spoken about what I've been up to. And I found that very, very, very encouraging. So Simon and Jana as well, of course, thank you so much for your support. Paul, I never know how to pronounce your avatar. I'm going to say it's Ioma. I'm probably wrong, and I know we've touched upon this before, and I'm an idiot for not remembering. You have told me how to pronounce your name. I do apologize. But you've left comments and you've liked posts as well, and that's been really, really encouraging. Sarah, I know that you and I think it was Mac were toing and froing about the swimming. Really enjoyed that. Lynn Thorstensen, who is a nutritionist, and she is the lady who got really involved and helped me out with the turmeric drink, which is now a lot more palatable, thanks to Lynn's recommendation for a recipe. Who else? And then we've got some of the usual suspects. Greg McQueen, photo by Greg, a good friend of mine in Denmark. Mark Cotton, of course, Mark, who's left a comment and been supportive as well. Paul O'Mahony. And what's interesting is I think that I have done more audio on the Audio Boom platform this month than Paul O'Mahony has. And for those of you who know Paul, you'll know what kind of achievement that is. Paul has gone off and doing tons of stuff with Periscope at the moment, so he's distracted. And in the meantime, I've crept in and I've managed, I think, to do more audio recordings to post more audio recordings than Paul this month. That will probably never happen again. There we go. Who else have I got on my list? Well, there is one name I haven't touched upon yet, and you all know who that is. Anybody involved with Audiomo will know who the next person is that I'm going to thank. Ern Mander. He is, as far as I know, the driving force. Certainly, I'm very visual, so I'm on Instagram, so I follow Ernie on Instagram. And he seems to be Mr. Audiomo. And he seems to be the driver of this. Certainly in my world, he is the driver. I hope to God there isn't somebody else who I am now insulting by not mentioning. If I am, please let me know. Please don't let me live in ignorance. But a big thank you to Ernie for, I suppose, encouraging all of us to do this and encouraging us and bringing us to the microphone and making us connect in this way and speak and talk and, I don't know, ramble in my case. Anyway, those are the thank yous. That's got them out of the way. That's like page one of my notes, because for the first time that I'm doing an audio boo with, you could tell I'm old school, can't you? I still call them audio boos. With notes. I've actually done some preparation for this one. Right, that's gone. So, Simon, you were saying, well, give me one good reason why you wouldn't do a daily podcast. And just for, if you're listening to this and you're going, well, I don't understand the reference, I was humming and hawing. What now? Now that I've got into this habit of broadcasting every day, should I continue? I'm not sure. I don't know. And yesterday I was in two minds. I'm still in two minds and have, of course, 24 hours to make up my mind, because then the clock will have run out and I will have missed the day and I won't have broadcast. But I don't know yet. But to give you some reasons why not, time is a big one for me. Finding time. Now, I'm not one of these people who you could turn around to and say, well, stop watching television then, because I don't actually watch that much television. Let me give you a rundown of my day, and you'll see that finding time for me is something of a conundrum, because I would have to take time away from something else to dedicate it to this podcasting, which is what I've done this month. And to do it in a contained month seems okay. To do it indefinitely, I'm not sure. So I need 8 hours sleep. Now, I'm not one of these people who believes that you can do without the sleep that your body requires. I actually think that sleep is completely critical. Certainly if you're pushing your body to the physical limits like I am at the moment. And even if I wasn't, I still believe that sleep is really important. I think it's one of the most underestimated aspects of our life. I know there are people who say that that you can do without an hour's sleep and 2 hours sleep, what have you. I don't buy into that. I think your body needs as much sleep as your body needs. It's different for everybody else. So I need 8 hours sleep. There will be people listening who need 9 or 10 hours sleep every day. And there will be people listening who genuinely only need 4 or 5 hours sleep. But we're all different. And I'm a great believer that you should listen to your body and give it the sleep it needs. So I need 8 hours sleep. And generally, if I can, I'll get 8 hours sleep. Sometimes I come up short, but say 8 hours sleep. Then the morning ritual in our household takes an hour from getting up to getting out of the door to take my daughter to school. Then I'm on the school run, and school runs combined, it depends on the day, but school runs will either be 30 minutes to an hour and a quarter. It depends whether I'm in charge of the afternoon school run. I'm part of a cluster of people and we have a flock of children. So I do 2 school runs in the afternoon a week, and that means that the other 3 days I don't need to worry about getting my daughter home from school. That's kind of taken care for me. Driving my daughter to swimming, I mean, that also takes time. That's only once a week, but that's the all these chores, don't forget, all these errands that we need to run. What else do I do? Well, at the moment, my exercise regime is taking up about an hour and a half every day. Certainly now that I'm running much further, and the swimming always had, by the time I've gone to the swimming pool, changed, done the swimming, come out of the pool, cooled down, changed again, driven home, had a cup of tea and sat down, you're talking an hour and a half. What else do I do on my day? I usually spend 30 minutes having lunch. I have to spend an hour for dinner with the family. I typically will spend an hour on the internet looking at the YouTubers I follow, reading the blogs that I want to read, that sort of thing. And a lot of those are professional things as well. Even the YouTube videos that I watch, I tend to watch them twice. One for the story that the YouTubers are giving me. And certainly in the case of, say, somebody like Casey Neistat, well, his videos are really cleverly put together often. And he has these little things that he does that I will go back through his videos just to look at and see how he did something, how he edited something together, how he combined things, how he cut, how he stopped halfway through something, how he picked up a story later in a video. It's a great education. What else do I do? Of course, the big thing. I work 8 to 12 hours a day. So today, for instance, was a 10-hour work day, and that's pretty average for me, to be honest with you. 10 hours is not uncommon. Now, if you add all of that up, depending on the combination, there are more. Some of those combinations will actually add up to more than 24 hours a day. And I haven't even watched a single episode of Game of Thrones. I mean, come on. I don't watch much TV, but I do watch Game of Thrones. And in all of that, there doesn't even seem time to watch Game of Thrones. So what I'm trying to say is I do an awful lot. And then I write blog posts as well. And I do cartoons. And I do videos. So there's a lot of stuff that I do in my day. And to podcast on a daily basis means I'm going to have to pull back on something else. And yeah, I'm not sure I want to. Now, one of the reasons I don't want to maybe is because podcasting about getting fit doesn't actually serve a purpose for me, if you like. The reason I'm trying to get fit is so I can do a triathlon or a triathlon distance. I need to be a bit careful there because I might not be able to enter an official triathlon, in which case I will just do a triathlon distance. I'll make up my own triathlon and do the miles in the swimming pool, go for a cycle, and then do the marathon run. I can map out a route. That's not a problem. But what's going to get me to do that is not podcasting about it. It's actually doing it. It's actually training for it. It's reading about it. It's learning how to do this. It's experiencing it and it's training for it. Podcasting about it isn't actually going to serve any purpose in that connection. On top of which, if I were to podcast, it has to fit in with a long-term ambition somehow. So at the moment, I have a long-term ambition that is visual, and it's connected to my desire to learn to draw better, illustrate better, learn cartooning, cartoon better, because I have a long-term plan with that. And that's a long-term plan to sustain myself into old age. It's going to, I don't particularly have a very sensible pension arrangement, such has been my life. So I'm going to need to be able to earn some kind of income, and it has to be some form of passive income to a degree, but also something that I can keep doing into a ripe old age. And lugging camera gear around and shooting videos is just not something you can really do when you're 70 plus. Sitting at a desk or standing at a desk, drawing and doing cartoons, that's something you can do into a ripe old age. So I'm looking at transitioning. And if I were to do anything at the moment, it has to tie in with that long-term ambition. So, and the other thing is, I find doing audio is time-consuming. For me, I'm not a natural audio person. I find it hard to speak. I find it hard to, what am I trying to say? See? Can't even express my own thoughts. It's not something that comes easy to me. And then the technical side of it. Oh my God, Mark, you know my good friend MC Fontaine must just put his head in his hands when he hears the technical ability, the stuff that I do to the audio. It doesn't come naturally to me. I can edit a video, no problem. I understand the software. I get what I'm doing. Doing audio is completely different. It's alien to me almost. And I struggle with it, to be honest with you. The technical side. So it takes me a little bit of time to do what I want to do. And I'm a slightly bit of a perfectionist. And it's only recently that I've stopped taking out ums and ahs in what I say because I don't have the time. But it goes against the grain. I'm too anal, I suppose, in that regard. I'm too precise. But so it's not something that comes naturally to me. So it's not something that would naturally appeal to me, I suppose. Anyway, look, Simon, I hope that's given you a kind of an idea of my own thinking of where I am. Good question. Thank you for asking it. Very thought-provoking for me. I don't yet have an answer. I don't know. I tell you what I do like about the daily podcasting. It gives an element of structure, and it gives an element of discipline, which I quite like. And it forces me to engage with an audience on a regular basis. And that's very enjoyable as well. So there are lots of positives about doing this. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm saying, oh, no, it's dreadful. Wild horses couldn't make me do it. It's just that it's not my natural space, if you like. Says somebody who actually already hosts two podcasts and is thinking about resurrecting a podcast. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, maybe. Anyway. Well, I'm being very cryptic now, aren't I? Right, sorry, I'm waffling as well. Let's move on. Let's move on to the numbers. Right, so I need to get my app, the Runkeeper app, which will tell me all kinds of goodness. Now, first of all, I started the month weighing 86 kilos. And I weighed myself the other day, and on my highly unreliable scales, it seemed to be telling me that I was either 84 kilos or 85, depending on how my body was swaying at the time. This is the world's worst pair of scales. So I've either lost 1 kilo or I've lost 2 kilos in the month. So that's a success. That's a win. Whether it's one or whether it's two, that is a win. What is that in pounds? That's going to be something like 2.5 to 5 pounds. Does that sound right? Somebody correct me if it doesn't. Not massive. I mean, it's not like I'm emaciated now or anything, but I have lost some weight and I noticed some tightening up of the body as well. And that's great. The waist. Now my waist was 40 inches and I'm measuring it over my belly button. And I just measured it before I started recording this. And it's gone up to 41 inches. Now, even though I'm just back from a run, I did run after dinner, and then I drank quite a bit of carbonated water. So I'm not entirely sure that was a correct reading of my belly. And what I can tell you anecdotally is that I have dropped a belt loop or belt hole on one of my belts. And that's pretty good. That's an indication, isn't it? There's progress for you. At the beginning of the month, the furthest distance I'd run was 7 kilometres. And if you've listened very recently to this podcast, you'll know that I got up to just over 10 kilometres the other day. So there's progress there. And in fact, this evening I ran 7.5 kilometres again. And the reason I ran 7.5 kilometres this evening, even though I didn't really want to, is it forces me now into a position where 10K is my long run. That's my natural long run now. I cannot go less than 10 kilometres when I do a long run on my Sundays for the next few weeks. Equally, by running 7.5 kilometres now, just this evening, it means that my shorter weekly runs cannot be shorter really than 7.5K, because I've done it, and I've done 7.5K off the back of running 10K, which is the longest distance I've run in years. So there's no backsliding now. 7.5K is the minimum I run when I run during the week, and 10K has to be the minimum I run when I do my, I'm doing air quotation marks here, long run at the weekends. And that's progress. I'm really happy with that. If I go back to, I thought I started running in March, but actually on Runkeeper, I have records going back to February when I was doing less than 2 kilometres. And boy, was that painful. I remember doing less than 2 kilometres. And I remember the stretch along the river that I would do it. And my God, it hurt. It hurt. And by the way, I had to have a pause halfway through those 2 kilometres. So since February, my fitness levels have improved dramatically, and that is just fantastic. Even if my belly seems to be going in the opposite direction. But like I say, maybe the carbonated water and the big meal has something to do with that. Let me just run you through some figures here, because they're quite interesting. In May, I did 74.4 kilometres of exercise. In June, I did 79.6, so 5 kilometers more. That's great. It's even better when you realize, and if you recall, that I was out for 2 weeks. I didn't really exercise for 2 weeks because I had that head cold. So I've done 5 kilometers more in June than I did in May, but with considerably fewer exercise days. So that's very pleasing. The same goes for the number of calories burned, because in May I burned 6,394 calories, according to Runkeeper. And in June, Runkeeper tells me that I burned 6,767 calories. So that's almost 400 calories more with fewer exercise days. And just to give you an idea of what the fewer exercise days means, in May I did 31 exercise activities, according to Runkeeper, and in June I did 20. So I actually did 30% less in terms of activities, or fewer activities, but still managed to burn more calories and do more distance. And that kind of, that means that on average, oh, not sure if you heard that, that was probably some of the carbonated water in my stomach trying to join the conversation. But of course, what it means is that the average distances that I'm running have gone up, and also I'm swimming a little bit further, not masses, but a little bit further every single time. So, in general, it's been a pretty, pretty good month. Oh, here's another figure I didn't realise. In June, I spent 12 hours and 53 minutes and 24 seconds exercising. And in May, I spent 40 minutes more exercising. So those 2 weeks, even though it's 2 weeks out of the month, haven't impacted as much. But gosh, imagine what the figures would have been like if I hadn't been ill. They'd have been pretty good, wouldn't they? So there we go. I'm going to now declare AudioMo 2015 and fat to fit at 47 over for the month of June 2015. This is normally where I say, I'll speak to you tomorrow. I genuinely don't know whether I will speak to you tomorrow. Regardless, thank you for listening, and thank you for your thoughts, your comments, your interaction on Instagram, Twitter, and here. Deeply, deeply appreciated. And if there's anything that I'd like to say to you is, if you can, please, please, please look after your health, because it is one of the few things that we can't get more of, really. We can get fitter. We can't necessarily get healthier. And it's like time. It's a resource that we all too often just don't treat with the respect it deserves. So if you can, look after yourself, get a bit fitter, preserve your health, and look after yourself. Thanks for listening.